Yo, hey, we are back for another episode of Dialogue Heavy with yours truly, Michael Anthony McMillan. What up, guys? Good evening, good night, good morning, wherever you are listening. I appreciate you for being here. We are continuing on this story that I'm reading to you. God bless the girls. Now, by now, you should be a regular listener. And you should have listened to all the chapters before, but a quick recap. This is about a young lady who is a endurance athlete. She runs long distances and she's pretty damn good at it. On another note, she also is a heavy drinker and she's barely graduated high school. So she got some issues she needs to take care of. But yeah, so after a night of drinking, with specifically her best friend Mark, but a bunch of, you know, friends from school and in a kickback party, she wakes up from a drunken stupor in a basement, a dark room, and she is chained to the floor. All the other episodes has gotten us to this, but particularly in 16, 17, and 18, if you haven't known already, this young lady is a virgin. So on top of being just completely freaked out and having the mental block of never being with a man or being with a young man of her age, around her age, she has something to lose in this situation. And she don't want it. Nobody would want it to be done at all, but definitely not done in this fashion to lose her virginity that way. So in chapter 16, she kind of talks about what got her to be to this point of being a virgin still when she's a graduate from high school and about to go off to college. She just had this weird situation with her mom where she, at a young age, went into her mom's room and saw some things, and her mom terrified her even more after she saw a dildo by, you know, telling her how dangerous sex is. And for whatever reason, clicked in her head a certain way. Didn't trust boys, particularly penises. And, you know, she's not her, you know, it's not her bag. So she explains that story in more detail. If you haven't listened to it, listen to that before this. And chapter 17, after a fight with her previously, Gore, her captor, is walking around upstairs, and she doesn't know if the next time he comes down, he's coming down to, you know, bash her, take her upstairs and do what she's done to the other girls. She just doesn't really know what's going on. So if you don't know how Sarah is already, she's a fiery one, and she challenges this guy like she doesn't know that she's a captor. She's cursing at him, she's kicking and punching and screaming like as she should. You know what I mean? She's trying to get the hell out of there. Unfortunately for Gore and the captors upstairs, or fortunately, maybe Gore is planning this. We're still trying to figure that out. But Gore has unlocked Sarah's lock, unbeknownst to him. And so now they're trying to, Sarah is alone trying to figure out if he's done it on purpose. Or, and he's like getting his revenge in another way. Maybe he's waiting for her upstairs, you know, so he's justified in killing her earlier or doing something to her earlier than maybe the other two captors wanted him to do. But she just really doesn't know. He also terrified her when he spoke differently than he has spoken before. He barely speaks at all, but it seems as though he's been kind of getting loose around the girls. And he spoke in an unusual tone that she had never heard before. So she doesn't know if the dude is just plain crazy, schizophrenic, bipolar, or what. But she's starting to learn all these things about her captor / captors. And obviously the stuff ain't going well. The only good part is that she's free. Now she just has to figure out what she's going to do and how she's going to do it. So we're going to continue on now in chapter 19. And like I said, everything on here on this podcast, Dialogue Heavy, anything that's been written and recited so far, we're in mid-February 2022. it's been written and recited by me, Michael Anthony McMillan. So without further ado, I bring to you chapters 19, 20, 21, and 22. These chapters are a little bit shorter today. So I wanted to add another one on there. But without further ado, I bring to you, God Bless the Girls, chapter 19. Here we go. It felt like they were up there for hours, and I'm sure for Susie, it felt like an eternity. Terry had finally calmed down, and I hadn't heard Boston peep a word in at least an hour. I still hadn't figured out my next move when the music turned off. Nerves shot up and down my body like I was being tased. I probably had 5 or so minutes before they returned their prey to the dungeon. Shit, I thought. What the fuck was I going to do? Boston, I whispered. She didn't say anything. Boston! I said a bit louder. Still nothing. Was she actually asleep? I guess being the new one down there, I never thought of the possibility of sleep. The normalcy of that under those circumstances just didn't agree with me. Terry, are you awake? What, Sharon? I'm not in the mood right now. Hey, do you think they'll leave soon? How the hell am I supposed to know? Just be quiet, all right? Okay, I said. I guess I would have to do this on my own. After 10 or so seconds, I guess Terry was a bit intrigued, though. What do you mean, do they leave? Like, is it possible that after they do, you know, what, that they leave the house? Sharon, Terry said, like she was not at all happy. I don't know. What's the difference? We're down here, locked up like animals with no possible way of getting out. What does it even matter? Shit. Boston, I said again to check if she'd woke up. But I got nothing. What are you asking her for, Terry said. She's just going to tell you the same thing. I need your help, Terry, I whispered, hoping and praying that Boston wasn't playing sleep. What did you say? I said I need your help getting us out of here. And how the hell am I supposed to do that? Chapter 20. Later, when the door opened, Terry started screaming like she was gonna die. Two lights were carrying Susie's limp body down the stairs. I'm bleeding! I'm bleeding! Somebody help! The two lights didn't seem to move any faster. I guess to them, they were used to Terry's shenanigans. When they reached the bottom of the stairs, they shot their light on Terry, and she had a huge gash on her head, above her left eye, splitting her eyebrow in two. She was covered in her own blood. Can't you see I need medical attention? The two lights turned towards each other, then turned up at the door, as we all did. The lady of the bunch was standing at the top of the stairs with her hand on her waist. She had her suit and light on, just like Goran Lanky. She shook her head. And that was that. The boys went back to work and shackled Susie like nothing even happened. I'm gonna bleed to death, Terry said. Once done with Susie, Lanky started for the stairs, but Gore went over to Terry. He knelt down and looked to be examining her, or at least giving her a good once over. He pulled out what looked like a dingy old dish rag and was about to apply it to her face when, No! The woman yelled at the top of the stairs with authority. Gory looked up and then a small grunt escaped his mouth. That wasn't like the ones I'd heard before. It was almost like he was asking the lady upstairs for permission to help, but she was not having it. He got up, then looked back at Terry and dropped the rag next to her dirty bare foot. Then he walked to the top, to the bottom of the staircase where Lanky, who grabbed him by the shoulder of his suit, pulled him up the stairs like a parent would removing their annoying child out of a quiet church service. But before they could reach the third step, the woman spoke again, and the next thing that she said nearly made my heart drop into my empty stomach. Stop. Check their chains. Shit, I thought as the two lights lumbered their way back down the stairs. Lanky went over to Terry and pulled on her chain from the handcuff connected to the ring welded to the floor. Then he surveyed the handcuff wrapped around her ankle. Ouch, Terry said. You asshole! Gore came over to me. The gleam of his light burned my capillaries, and soon I
all I could see was green spots. I covered my eyes with my forearm. I knew then I was screwed. I should have just taken my chances when they were up there with Susie. I sat Indian style really close to the metal ring that was welded to the ground and had the part of the cuff that was unlocked turned inward. Gore had to shove me just to get his hands on my chain. He got to the cuff connected to the floor and yanked it hard 3 times. He looked at my face with his light and blinded me again. Did he know or not? He grunted as he fought me to move my legs apart, but I wouldn't budge. He grunted louder as he put his hardened, calloused hands on my legs, trying to pry them open, and soon my legs were starting to give to his strength. I could see that his light was now shining right down on the ankle cuff, and I was about an inch and a half away from being found out. I squeezed with everything I had, and was actually starting to sweat when our unlikely hero caused another diversion. Ah! Lanky cried out after Boston kicked him square in the nuts. Get your fucking hands off me, Boston screamed. Lanky hit the floor like a sack of moldy onions and was rolling around in pain. I'll kill you, you little bitch, I heard. And in that instance, I was convinced that what I heard was not a young man's voice. Neither was the voice of the woman, for that matter. Her voice had a bit of a screech to it, but was definitely not young. Gore immediately let go of my legs and ran over to help Lanky from the grounded fetal position he was in. Idiots! The lady said, flailing her arms in the air on her way out of the basement. Gore helped Lanky up the stairs with Lanky's arm draped over his shoulder, and when they were at the top, Lanky let Boston know that he had it out for her. Laugh now, you little whore, because I'm going to enjoy making you cry later. After that, they closed the door, and again, the darkness was back. Terry, you okay? I asked. Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll just tie my shirt sleeve around it for a while. Susie, baby, you okay? Susie moaned. What about you, Boston? Yeah, I'm fine, Boston replied with an air of satisfaction and a hint of worry. You kicked them in the baked beans, eh, Boston? There was a silence in the air. But then Terry couldn't take it any longer and broke the silence and laughed aloud. That prompted me to laugh, and it even sounded like Susie got a little chuckle in between her pained moans. Yeah? Well, I had to. Really? I said, laughing. Why? I had to preserve our escape plan, didn't I? Chapter 21. What escape plan? Susie muttered. Then, just like that, the laughter was done, and there was a sense of alertness in the darkness. Sarah's free, Boston said in an almost jealous tone. What? Susie said, surprised. How? Gore messed up and unshackled her in their fight when they came down to get you. No shit? Susie said. No shit, Boston confirmed. So, what's the plan, Sarah? I don't know. Whatever it is, it better include all of us, Boston demanded. Duh, Boston. She's not gonna just get out of here and bolt, Terry said. You're going to save us, right, Sarah? Susie pleaded. What the hell was I supposed to say to that, I thought. This is exactly what I was afraid of. I didn't have the slightest idea in how I was even going to get myself out of that place, let alone free the other girls. I wasn't obligated to help them, right? Terry bled for me, yes. But as for Boston, she would have kicked Lanky in the nuts if she had the chance anyway, or probably did worse. I like Susie, but she didn't contribute very much to any conversations of escaping. What if it wasn't that simple? What if that cabinet next to the door upstairs didn't have the keys to their locks? Was I supposed to look around the whole house and risk getting caught? If I did, I knew I'd be back down there with them and that the three assholes would never make that mistake again. No, I needed to think about my own safety. I needed to find out how I was going to survive. I'll try, was the answer I came up with. I thought it to be honest and true to the fact, but the girls were not having it. You'll try? Terry said. I'm fucking dying over here trying to help you escape, and all you can say is you'll try? I told you guys, She's gonna get us killed, Boston said. What? I retorted. You heard that what that prick said? He said he was gonna kill me. He said he was gonna make you cry, Boston. Oh, she's fucking cute now? No, I said. I'm just saying. I don't give a shit what you're saying, Boston interrupted. You better get us the fuck out of here, or I'm gonna tell him the second that door opens again. Well, I was quiet then. You think I won't? Boston said. I didn't say that then. That's enough, Boston, Terry interjected. She gets the point. Yeah, relax, Boston. What if they're listening? Oh, shut the fuck up, Susie. If they were listening, they would have bolted down here and tied her ass up by now. What do you want from her, Boston? Terry said. A confirmation that she's going to save our lives? She understands, all right? The pressure is on. That was literally what I thought, but couldn't articulate. Now, Terry continued, does anybody have anything positive they can contribute to us putting together an actual plan? It was quiet for a while. And the tension started to leave the room. I got nothing, Boston said. Nothing that hasn't been said already. Wait, Susie said. He does snore. What? Who? Terry said. Gore. He snores. Sometimes, if it's really quiet up there, you can hear him. It's faint and it's far away, but it's there. And? Terry said. When it goes on for a long time, that's when I figure it's night. Once or twice throughout the night, he does it once or twice throughout the night, and it'll stop us. It'll stop, and a second later, that creaking water pipe will sound. Oh, I heard that. I heard that plenty of times, Terry said. That must be when he goes to the bathroom. Uh-huh, Susie said. Maybe that's the time for her to go look for the keys. That's it, Boston said, and I can hear her chain clang, clang, clang against the floor like she was jumping up and down. That's the time for us to go. Fuck, we're getting out of here tonight. Wait, I said. I was thinking more like the next time everybody is gone from the house. Are you out of your fucking mind? That could be days from now. Yeah, but it would give her the time she needs to look for the keys to Boston, Terry said. She's got a point, Susie interjected. She's got a point, Boston said, while the tension stormed back into the room. Jesus Christ, how many more chances do you think we're going to get to have to get out of here? We have to go now, or who knows what they're going to do to us, or who knows what they're going to do to us next. No, the next time Susie hears that fucker breathing in his sleep, Sarah's got to take her ass up there, find the keys, let us out, and we bail together. All right, Susie said. Yeah, Terry said. I think she's right. The sooner, the better. Chapter 22. I was almost dreading the sound of Gore's breath, but the girls were as alert as bloodhounds on the hunt. Susie's position in the corner was the most likely place to hear the sound initially, but it seemed like every couple of minutes, Boston just knew Gore was sound asleep. You hear that? I think he's out. Sarah, go right now. Go! Then we would be quiet and hear Gore walk around. Shit, Boston said. Wait, not yet. That would go on for hours at a time. On the inside, I knew the real time to go was when Susie would tell me, and I'm sure none of us would even hear it, but Boston couldn't help herself. It was like she could taste her freedom, and she wasn't going to wait for a fork and a knife. All right, Susie said sometime later. I think it's time. Wait, I said. All I hear is music. Yeah, he does that a lot, said Susie. Maybe when he can't sleep, but he plays that song on repeat. Listen. As we sat there and listened, the nerves in my body were the same as when I was about to start a race, but this time there was a primal element to it. I started to hyperventilate, and the muscles in my calves started to flex unconsciously. Shit. This was it, wasn't it? That's when I heard it. The real Sandman song from the actual singer. The girls mumbled the lyrics in a hushed tone. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I ever seen. They must have sang that song 100 times that night. And every time it was over, we can still hear the wood crackle underneath Gore's feet as he walked through the house. We can even still hear the television play faintly in the background. It had to have been his nightly routine when something was bothering him. Why else would he play the song over and over again like that? Later, I had almost fell asleep myself, by the way the girl sang in that hushed tone. Then after what seemed like forever, there was no more walking and no more television playing. "Shh," Susie said. "Quit singing." The girl stopped. I strained my ear so hard to hear that I thought I could have conjured up the sound of him snoring myself. But like clockwork, there it was, a very, very faint, breathy tone. It was almost not even a snore. It was more like the way you hear a baby breathe in its sleep. "Go," Terry said. "Get the keys and get us the fuck out of here." I didn't say anything. I just moved. I moved so slow and so deliberately that the girls didn't even know that I had been on the stairs until the second to last step creaked under my bare foot. "Shh," one of the girls said. I grabbed the knob and prayed that it wasn't locked from the outside. I twisted and twisted, and thankfully, the knob didn't stop. I pushed the unlocked door slow to open it and peeked one eye through a thin sliver. All I saw was the 70s style wallpaper that was plastered on the kitchen walls. I opened the door further, went out and closed the basement door, and something inside of me knew that I was gonna make it. But what I didn't know was that night would also be the last time I ever heard the girls sing that song. And boom! All right, guys, so that's it for today. Chapters 19, 20, 21, and 22 of God Bless the Girls. How you like that, huh? Our girl, Sarah, who's put together all these different equations and situations from the night before, trying to sift through the haze of her mind, of her brain on alcohol, trying to sift through all that, and obviously being drugged. She found a way to get out, but it was in an unlikely way. That's what we do as writers, you know, we put you in one way and give you a red herring, and then we, point you in another direction that you weren't expecting. You know, maybe all the fights that Sarah and Gore had made them flustered, as I've mentioned before, and as the girls have mentioned, is that, you know, people make mistakes when they're angry. And it looks like Gore made that mistake. Now, we still don't know if Gore did this purposefully or not, but nonetheless, he let Sarah go. And we're just going to have to see what Sarah does with it. It sounded by the end of that Sarah might just save herself. Doesn't seem like she's coming back for the girls. Nothing is as it seems, as you can see. That's what books are supposed to be like anyway, though. And I'm enjoying writing this thing. This has been a hell of a journey for Sarah, and I'm exhausted for her. And that's how you know you feel like you're... I mean, I don't know. I don't know how successful this recording will be or whatever like that, but that's how you know you're doing a good job when, you know, you're in there with it, with your characters. And I have to say, on a side note, as a writer, when I get lost in this stuff, there's times where I can write for hours, or just, you know, as a fan, read for hours, and you're just lost. So I'm hoping that I can take you guys to a different place for, you know, the certain amount of time that you're listening to this. And we got quite a few episodes, and now it's over an hour of listening time with all the chapters put together. I hope that you like this stuff, man. I guess we wouldn't have as many listeners and stuff weekly if it wasn't at least enjoyable. I'll put it like that, because you never know. You know, fans are finicky. But like I said many times in every single episode, that I'm so grateful and so thankful for all the listens, all the messages, all the fans who are, you know, talking about this to me. I don't know if you guys are sharing it with each other or sending it to your friends or whatever. That'd be great if you did. But, you know, I just hope that you enjoy it as you listen to this. Like I said, I'm still writing this actual story. I'm still quite a few ways in front of you guys in the way that I'm writing it. But all I can say is that it continues to get more interesting. And as I said even earlier on this, that nothing is as it seems. So while writing this stuff, you know, I thought of 100 different ways of how to end it, how to finish it, or even throughout these chapters. And even when I go back and edit these things, a lot of the time, it turns out to be different than what it was beforehand. That's what editing and everything is all about. So there's always all these twists and turns. And every time I thought that I was writing Sarah in a corner or writing, you know, Gore and them fighting or something like that, it's always seemed to, like, the next time I opened up the computer that it, you know, it all changed. You want to know one thing, a sign that I know that this is what I should be doing as a writer? I can get interrupted by family. I got a new baby. I can get interrupted by that and be gone from my computer for hours. I try to write every day, but sometimes days. And all I have to do is read the previous paragraph or maybe the previous chapter, and boom, it just clicks and I just continue to go. That's my only sign of knowing this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what yours is in your provocations and your what you guys do in life. But just being able to pick up where I left off, like as if I just had a drink of water in between sentences and just kept on going. So I'm going to continue to do this. Hopefully you guys can champion me on. Well, you're doing that by just listening. But let me get out of here, man, because I've been talking a little bit too much. I just want the girls to tell their story and you guys see what you get from it. I don't know if there's any life lessons or anything and stuff like this. You know, you don't really know until you see the body of work afterwards as a whole. You don't really know why you're going, but I thank you for listening to Dialogue Heavy, and particularly this story as well. I appreciate you, man. So, as you know, you can reach me at Michael DeGrio on Instagram. And also, my email is mzzack199@gmail.com. And really interested in hearing what you guys' thoughts and feelings are. The questions keep on pouring in, and that's pretty damn cool. Didn't think that anybody cared enough to write questions about the characters or even some critiques and stuff like that, which is cool with me. I'm a glutton for punishment, so send all you can. But I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you. And we're going to keep this show rolling. So I will catch you guys later. Catch you guys for another couple of chapters, hopefully next week. And I'll talk to you soon. I'll let you later. Peace. Bye.